Please, sir, can I have some more? Perhaps immediately you have images recalled in your mind of that show, or perhaps memories of reading the book. Please, sir, can I have some more? Famous words of Oliver spoken, but perhaps they go beyond simply a famous request from a poor little boy in a book. Don't they speak something to the nature of our human hearts? That we are people who always want more. Sometimes those requests for more are justified. Oliver, when he was hungry and wanting a little bit more food, well, he was justified, wasn't he? He was right to ask for more. Sometimes, however, the request for more isn't always justified. There are those who have plenty, and yet out of our greed, out of our own selfishness and self-centeredness, we demand yet more. And as we look at Exodus 33, well, we find that Israel, they had lots and lots and lots already given to them. And yet here, we see Moses is asking for more. And one of the things we're thinking about is, well, should Moses really be asking for more? They've already had so much. The Lord, as we've just heard, has rescued them from Egypt. Just several weeks before this passage, they were in Egypt as slaves. Hard toil under Pharaoh. They were suffering. Their life was hard. And the Lord delivered them and rescued them. And not only did he rescue them, but he destroyed their enemies. Egypt was left devastated from the 10 plagues. The Egyptian army following them through the Red Sea. Moses, how did he cross the Red Sea? Well, the Lord blew with his wind. But what happened to the Egyptian army who sought to follow? They were crushed and destroyed by the might of God. And looking further back, God's people had received the great promises given to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. They were given a great promise of a future in the promised land. Even as they journeyed and traveled, the Lord provided food for them and clothing. On Mount Sinai, they saw the dark thunder and cloud and lightning descend upon the mountain, and the Lord met with Moses, and they were given the Ten Commandments. They were given plans for their tabernacle, a place of worship. They'd already been given so much. And yet here, we see that Moses is dissatisfied. And he says, please, Lord, can we have some more? Verse 15, what is it that Moses asks for? If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. Don't let us leave this place without going with us. When he asks for more, he's saying, Lord, we want you. We want you. We don't just want the things that you have to give. And you have given us so much. And you have so much more in store for us, so much promised for us. Yet, Lord, we want more. We want you. And I think Moses asked for more because he recognizes that whatever the Lord is able to give, well, it all counts for naught. It is all worthless without the presence of God with them. Let us think about ourselves. If you think, what have you received from the Lord? What have you got from him? Perhaps it might be you're thankful for the material possessions you have, your house, your job, the money that you have, the food that we eat. We're deeply thankful for those things. But as Christians, we're thankful also for the comfort which we receive from the Lord through difficult times. Perhaps you hold on to the fact that as a Christian, you find meaning and purpose to your life. The big questions of why am I here? What am I doing? What is it all about? Perhaps you think, well, the Lord has given me great friendships within the life of the church. Or perhaps you remember your past and the things which you were less than proud of, and you're glad for the forgiveness that comes from the Lord. Perhaps you look forward and you have great hope that the Lord gives us of a promised future with him forever. And these are all good things and things which we should be thankful for. But I think that if we're going to be like Moses, if we want to be godly, if we want to think the way God wants us to think, then we, like Moses, must ask for more. Yes, Lord, you have given us so much, but if that is all there is, then it counts for nothing. See, none of what God gives us has any value apart from himself. In the past, we've used the language of a divine vending machine. If God is just there giving us stuff, and he doesn't give us of himself, then really it's not that great at all. And another way of thinking about it is, have you seen the movie Aladdin? Aladdin? Yeah, maybe some of us. It's a story of a boy who has to steal in order to get his next meal. He's got nothing. One day, this boy Aladdin comes across a little genie lamp. He rubs it and out comes this genie who offers him three wishes, anything you want, with a couple of caveats. But anything you want, whatever you can dream of, I can give it to you. And he quickly spends his first two wishes, and he spends quite a long time kind of figuring out what he wants to do with his last wish. Until he finally realizes that actually he doesn't want anything that this genie can give him. He wants the genie himself. And so he uses his last wish, and he wishes that this genie would be set free. No longer bound to this little lamp, no longer bound to fulfill the wishes of whoever finds him, but free to be himself, free to do what he wants, and free ultimately to pursue a friendship and a relationship with Aladdin. And so the two become inseparable friends. Aladdin recognizes that although the genie has great power to grant whatever wish he desires, what is of far more value is the genie himself. And so it is with the Christian faith. And so it is with what Moses recognizes here. He says, you know what? I know all that you can offer, Lord. We've seen all that you've already given us. And we know what you've promised to give us in the future. But we want more. We want you. Unless your presence goes with me, do not bring us up from here. Unless you go with us, Lord, we don't want to go anywhere. Because you're of far more value, far more worth than anything you can simply give. But there's a problem, isn't there? There's a problem. Verse 20. The Lord says, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. There's a problem because we cannot be in the presence of God. For as much as Moses asks and as much as we long to be in the presence of God, the problem is that we cannot find ourselves in the presence of God and live. If you think back to the Garden of Eden in the very beginning, Adam and Eve living, walking in the presence of God. And out of their disobedience, what is the punishment? Well, they're forcibly removed. They're exiled from the presence of God. An angel with a flaming sword guards the entrance, and we cannot enter back. And if we were brought into the presence of God, we would die. Because he is as light to the darkness. And what does light naturally do? Well, it destroys darkness. In the book of 1 Timothy, we read of God as the unapproachable light. We who have disobeyed, we who have sinned, we who are not as he is, were we brought into his presence, were he to come down to us in all his glory and splendor and majesty, if the Father were to come before us, we would die. If you think back to Mount Sinai, where they received the Ten Commandments with the thunder and the cloud and the lightning, the earth shook as Moses received the Ten Commandments, and all the people were commanded, do not even touch the mountain. If you touch the mountain, this place which is holy, because God's presence is there. If you touch the mountain, you will die. And so even as Moses requests God's presence with them, there's a real problem. Because we, in our darkness, cannot come before the light and survive. And yet, we're presented with a solution, aren't we? Perhaps most clearly put in John chapter 1, as it speaks of one who is God, and who is sent from God, and who is somehow God but distinct from him. He is the one who is able to go to his people and to confront them face to face without ensuring their destruction. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. You see, when the Lord, when the Father promises, my presence will go with you, I think he's got in mind the Lord Jesus, that the Father will send his Son, and in his Son, we'll be able to meet with God without our destruction and to be brought into his presence, pure and blameless. At the end of our John reading in chapter 1, verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. My presence will go with you. You cannot see my face, says the Father, but I will send one to you who is also God with me. I will send him to you. I'm a governor at a school nearby. It's a Church of England school. And one of the things we're thinking about at this time is Christian distinctiveness in the curriculum, in the teaching that we, and the education that we offer these children who come to the school. What is it that separates the Christian faith from others? What is it that we can offer that no non-Christian school can offer? What makes us distinct as Christians? And I think one of the things which the Bible speaks of as distinctive is this very issue that God, one who is God, comes from God and meets with us. Look back again at Exodus chapter 33, verse 16. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? Isn't this what makes us different? Isn't this what separates the Christian faith from all others? That you are a God who comes down to us. You are the one who sends your Son to be in our midst and to draw us back to yourself. Jesus is many things. Some would call him a good teacher. Some might speak of him as a great moral example. Some might speak of him as a crazy political activist. But the Bible says the one fact about the Lord Jesus which matters above all else is that he is God. And he's God come down to be with us. He is the one through whom we're able to know the Father. And without the Lord Jesus, we know nothing of God. And because of that, everything else which God has to offer pales in comparison, counts as naught without his presence with us. What does God give us? He's not some divine vending machine. Because the thing is, you know what? If God was just someone who gave grace, if God was just someone who gave comfort, if God was someone who just gave good things, then it doesn't matter which God you believe in. A lot of gods offer that. A lot of different religions, a lot of different worldviews offer the comforts and kindness and even love from God. But what makes us distinct, what is different about the scriptures, is the Lord Jesus claiming to be God, claiming to be the one who is able to make God known to us. I think there's a bit of a lie that goes around this world. It's not a new one. It's a lie that has gone on for generation after generation after generation. And that lie is that every God is the same. That no matter where you grow up, whatever you believe, whatever you do, we're all individuals striving to climb the mountain from different paths, trying to reach God in some different way. But I just don't think this passage here in Exodus 33 allows that. Because no one can see God's face and live. No one can come into his presence without ensuring their own destruction, unless one who is God and who comes from God comes down and meets with us where we are and draws us to him. And so where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? Well, I think we need to look back on our own Christian faith, our own Christian life, and we need to consider, what is it that we get from God? What is it that we most value about the Christian faith? Is it simply what God has to give us, the stuff which God is able to dispense? Is it that he's kind? Is it that we receive great comfort from him? Is it that we receive wonderful friendship amongst his people? Is it that we gain forgiveness for the past and hope for a future? All these things are good and true and wonderful and to be celebrated. But do we need to be like Moses? And do we need to say, Lord, please, can I have some more? I want you. I want the Lord Jesus, and through him, to know who God is and to be drawn into fellowship with him. I want to suggest that that is the distinctiveness of the Christian faith. This changes everything. And without the Lord Jesus, well, everything else that the Lord has to give us, it counts for naught. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that in your grace and your kindness and your mercy, you sent him to reveal yourself to us. We pray, Father, that you'd help us cling to him and hold to him every day of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.